Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 17th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
investors await a handful of key interest rate decisions this week, led by the Fed.
Boeing CEO predicts the grounded 737 MAX will return to service this year.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross says the prospect of a major trade deal is unlikely at the G20 summit.
Secretary of State Pompeo says the U.S. has unmistakable evidence that Iran was behind attacks on oil tankers, plus President Trump has fired some of his pollsters. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Yankees won in Chicago. Mets lost to the Cardinals, and Gary Woodland held off Brooks Koepka and captured the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We're brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, and spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And U.S. futures are higher this morning following a mixed session in Asia, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 29, NASDAQ futures up 17. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32nds, yield 2.11%, yield on the 2-year 1.87%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 32 cents at $52.19 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $7.10 at 13.37.40 an ounce, and the euro 1.1211 against the dollar. John.
And the market action this week will likely be determined by some key central bank decisions led by the Fed in the U.S. We get the story from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Unexpected strength in retail sales won't derail Fed officials from suggesting patience is no longer the watchword for U.S. monetary policy. While investors don't expect a rate cut at this week's meeting, they do anticipate a signal the Fed has moved closer to lowering rates. A weak payrolls report and uncertainty over trade and geopolitical developments rattling market confidence. The Fed is the market's focus, but other major central banks meet this week as well. Analysts say political turmoil, a lack of clarity about Brexit, and weaker than expected economic data provide reasons for the Bank of England to remain on hold. The Bank of Japan isn't expected to act either, although Governor Haruhiko Kuroda said last week there are downside risks to the outlook, including potential Fed rate cuts that might strengthen the yen too much. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. With unemployment close to a half-century low, the economy is sure to be a campaign theme as President Trump seeks a re-election. But others are highlighting flaws in the economic recovery. Chris Condon wrote the story for Bloomberg News.
We're about to hit a 10-year record for this economic expansion. And there's no question that the Trump administration does get credit for goosing the rate of growth towards the last 2 years of this expansion. There were tax cuts. There was higher spending in 2017. Those have certainly fed the demand side of our economy. Now, it's a different question, though, if we think about how much of a boost Donald Trump is really going to get when Americans head to the ballot box in 2020. Overall rates of growth are still historically quite low and not that impressive. The benefits from this expansion have also been distributed very unevenly. Wealthier Americans are gobbling up a lot of those benefits. And if we look at wage growth among middle-income Americans, they're not that impressive.
The trade war with China, which most economists say is a near-term threat to U.S. growth, is another likely campaign issue in 2020.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross reiterating that a major trade deal is unlikely to emerge from a possible meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping at the Group of 20 summit in Osaka this month.
You never have a deal on anything until you have a deal on everything. So in that sense, with things as complicated as trade negotiations, there's always going to be a degree of uncertainty until you really get to the finish line.
Ross made the comments to Bloomberg at the Paris Air Show.
Intel CEO Bob Swan says the chipmaker is reviewing its global supply chain amid the growing trade war between the U.S. and China.
Since the tariff started last year, both with our manufacturing operations as well as the assembly operations of our customers, we have been working to mitigate the impact of tariffs by looking at more effective ways for the movement of goods around the world so that our products won't be more expensive at point of sales.
And Swan made the comments in an exclusive interview with Bloomberg in Tel Aviv.
Huawei has prepared a doomsday outlook for smartphone sales because of the Trump administration's blacklisting. Bloomberg has learned that the Chinese company is ready for a drop of up to 60% in international phone shipments. Huawei is the world's second largest smartphone seller.
There's calm in the streets of Hong Kong this morning following yesterday's massive protests. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Jody Schneider in Hong Kong.
Karen and John. It's a very different situation in Hong Kong today, where there's a few protesters on the street, very different than what organizers say were up to 2 million people demonstrating yesterday. The issue is the extradition proposal that would have allowed China to extradite people from Hong Kong. Chief Executive Carrie Lam suspended the policy, but that wasn't enough for the protesters who want to see her resign and want to see the policy pulled. In Hong Kong, this is Jody Schneider for Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jody, thanks. Boeing expects the grounded 737 MAX to return to the skies later this year. CEO Dennis Muilenburg spoke with Bloomberg's Guy Johnson at the Paris Air Show.
We feel very confident in the MAX. We know we have work to do to rebuild the public's confidence in that airplane. We'll get it back up and flying safely. I'm convinced with the updates we're making to the MAX, it'll be one of the safest airplanes ever to fly.
Yeah.
We still have more than 4,000 of those airplanes in backlog. That is a multi-decade airplane that's going to be very a strong operator for our customers.
Muilenburg did not give a specific timetable for the 737 MAX's return.
And Bloomberg News has learned Deutsche Bank is considering exiting from U.S. equities trading and creating a bad bank to wind down legacy assets as part of a broader overhaul to be announced next month. Sources say a complete exit isn't the favored outcome at this point because the lender wants to be able to meet the needs of European clients seeking access to U.S. markets. Cuts to the rates business are also likely. Futures are higher this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. It's a potential breach for the first time of a landmark 2015 agreement that was meant to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear bomb. Iran says it will exceed an agreed cap on its inventories of low-enriched uranium in 10 days. It comes as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is stressing diplomacy and responding to suspected attacks on oil tankers near a Middle East shipping route. Pompeo on CBS's Face the Nation says that intelligence officials have lots of data, lots of evidence tying Iran to the alleged attacks near the Strait of Hormuz.
Of course, the president will consider everything we need to do to make sure, right? But what's the president said? We don't want Iran to get a nuclear weapon.
CBS's Face the Nation can be heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. Argentina's president is not ruling out a cyber attack after what he called an unprecedented power blackout. It struck five South American countries yesterday, including Uruguay and Paraguay. President Mauricio Macri says the cause of the power grid failure is being investigated. President Donald Trump's reelection campaign has severed ties with some of its pollsters after reported leaks of surveys showing him trailing former Vice President Joe Biden in key states. It comes ahead of President Trump's official kicking off his 2020 campaign with a rally in Orlando, Florida tomorrow. Meanwhile, we're learning more about President Trump's one-on-one with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. The president talked about a major issue in this election.
We're going to produce phenomenal health care, and we already have the concept of the plan, and it'll be much better.
Tell people what the plan is.
Yeah, well, we'll be announcing that in about 2 months, maybe less.
The president also says the fight over border security will be a hot election topic. It was debate night in the UK. Bloomberg's Tim Ross has more from London.
Tory rivals battling to be the next UK prime minister traded insults over Brexit in the first TV debate of the party contest on Sunday. During the 90-minute Channel 4 broadcast, candidates argued over the radical option of suspending Parliament as a last resort. But the frontrunner, Boris Johnson, wasn't there. Instead, his place was filled with an empty lectern on the stage. In London, Tim Ross, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John Brooks Koepka was looking to make some history. First golfer since Willie Anderson, 1905, to win the U.S. Open 3 straight years. He nearly did. Started the final round at Pebble Beach quickly. 3 birdies the first 4 holes. Got to within 1 shot of the lead. But Gary Woodland never gave it up all weekend. He went to 18, needing only a bogey. He ended up with a birdie with a 30-foot putt. And the 35-year-old, who until last year had never had a top-10 finish at a major, won his first major.
I don't think my game's where it needs to be, but it's getting there. Becoming a more complete player, I have more shots. I can rely more on my putting now. I can rely on my short game. Things I couldn't do even last year. And becoming a more complete player, and I can play different golf courses. I mean, people growing up said U.S. Open wouldn't suit me because I'm a long hitter, I'm a bomber. You know, I went out and improved. I think to everybody else, but I always believe that I'm pretty good.
And Koepka's pretty good, too. In 3 majors this year, 1 win and 2 second-place finishes. Tiger Woods, who bested Koepka at the Masters, says he's going on a family vacation and won't play again until the British Open next month. Yankees salvage the split in Chicago, 10-3 route as they come home to battle Tampa Bay for first place. Tonight will be Edwin Encarnacion's debut. In Pinstripes, acquired from Seattle, the Yanks have sent Clint Frazier, who's hit 11 home runs, to the minor league. Someone else will likely leave tomorrow with the expected return of Giancarlo Stanton. Mets have put Noah Syndergaard on the injury list, hamstring injury, and then Jason Vargas had to leave yesterday, fouled the pitch off his foot. The Cardinals won 4-3 on an 8th-inning homer by Met killer Paul DeJong. The Cards take 3 of 4 in the series. A little closer for the U.S. in its second game at the Women's World Cup in France after 13-0 in the opener. This one was 3-0 over Chile. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. And a Babe Ruth road jersey dating back to around 1928 has sold at auction for $5.6 million. Hunt Auctions, which handled the sale, says the price breaks a record for the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever sold. A Ruth jersey from 1920 previously sold for $4.4 million. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we look at futures this morning, they point to a higher open on Wall Street, just slightly. S&P futures right now 3 points higher. The Dow futures up 25 points, and the Nasdaq Emerging futures up 14.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving higher this morning with S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 18, NASDAQ futures up 11, the DAX in Germany up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.10%, yield on the 2-year 1.87%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 38 cents to $52.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $7.10 to $13.37.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1214 against the dollar, the yen 108.63. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump officially kicks off his reelection campaign with a rally tomorrow in Orlando, Florida. Earlier, multiple reports say the president severed ties with some of his pollsters. The lights are back on in Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay after a disruption to the power grid. It caused a widespread outage yesterday. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the A's and Giants. The Red Sox down the Orioles. The Nationals won. In golf, Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 619 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up now for the trading day and the week ahead. And joining us in New York, Madeline Kim, Executive Editor for Breaking News here at Bloomberg in London. We're joined by News Director David Merritt. And in India, we're pleased to have the Peripatetic Managing Editor, Emma O'Brien. Madeline, let's start with you because you're sitting right here. How low can they go? Central banks in focus this week with the Fed leading
yes.
the way.
Not just the Fed. Good morning, John. We do have indeed a host of them meeting this week, from the Fed to the BOJ, the BOE, plus a couple of emerging market banks. But really, as you said, all eyes on the Fed. Meets on Wednesday, and investors are expecting policymakers led by Jerome Powell to indicate a willingness to cut rates in coming months. But nothing is priced for this meeting. The actual cuts will come probably in July after the, remember, there's the G20 meeting with when President Xi and Trump will hopefully meet and discuss trade. So they're waiting still for that to come.
David, on to you. Things are bad when you have to think about setting up a bad unit.
Yes, that's right. More news out of Deutsche Bank, of course, very troubled European giant of the banking world. And they've got a new plan. We've had many of these turnaround plans coming over the last year or so. The latest idea, there are two parts to it, really. One is setting up a so-called bad bank to try to wind down some of these legacy assets, something in the region of 32 billion euros worth. The other part is making some pretty deep cuts to its investment banking, particularly the equities trading unit. And it looks like the United States is going to be where the heaviest cuts will fall. They're not going to pull out completely from the US, but definitely looking to scale back the operations there a lot. Now, is this enough to finally turn Deutsche Bank around? Well, the stock is up slightly this morning in Frankfurt, about 2% or so, but bear in mind it reached a record low earlier this month. So, you know, it's been a bleak year. Maybe this could mark the low point and things could improve from here on.
Emma in India, careful what you say when China is listening.
That's right. UBS has got itself into an unenviable situation in China. So there's a big fracas that has stemmed from a comment that their chief economist, Paul Donovan, made in a research note on Chinese inflation. He was brushing aside the impact of the swine flu epidemic there, which has decimated the local pork industry in China. He said that it only mattered, quote, if you are a Chinese pig, unquote. Now, this might seem innocuous for us Westerners, but it is a derogatory term for Chinese people used during colonial times, and it's unleashed a firestorm both on social media and elsewhere. Donovan has been suspended. We've had a fund manager sever ties with UBS in China. And just today, the state-run railway company, the behemoth China Railway, is said to have kicked UBS out of a bond deal that they did. Not a good sign for companies getting on the wrong side of the Chinese public.
And Madeline, don't get too excited about G20, because somebody is already downplaying expectations.
Indeed, that would be Wilbur Ross yesterday in an interview with our Commerce Secretary. And what he said actually makes a lot of sense. If you recall when the two presidents met in Argentina last year, there also wasn't a trade deal on the table. That's way too technical, and there's no very highly unlikely. This meeting in June in Osaka hasn't actually been confirmed even, but if they do meet, it's very unlikely to come out with a trade deal per se. That'll be a framework potentially for the technical talks to resume, some kind of outline, but unlikely to be assigned in, on the dotted line kind of thing.
Emma, back to you. It's always good to be realistic, but Huawei has a doomsday forecast.
That's right. The Trump administration's blacklisting of Huawei, which is the world's second largest smartphone maker, don't forget, is having an immediate effect on them. They're preparing for a drop of as much as 60% in smartphone shipments globally, according to some of the sources we've spoken to. They're also exploring more drastic options like pulling their latest overseas model offering. But that drop in volumes that they're expecting is anywhere between 40 million to 60 million smartphones. So really having an impact there on Huawei.
And David, flying high in Paris at the air show, Boeing sounds confident.
Yeah, that's right. So the biennial Paris Air Show kicking off today. And you know, it's a bit unusual, this one. This is the first time that Boeing's really got a chance to try to undo some of the damage over the MAX, the 737 problems it's been having. But the chief executive telling Bloomberg today, you know, he expects that plane to be back in the air this year. So they're really trying to make strides to get back on track. Meanwhile, Airbus really trying to press his advantage. It's announced a huge order of 100 narrow-body aircraft from Air Lease. Really trying to make the most there of Boeing's unfortunate situation.
And Madeline, let's finish up with you. The trade war has Intel reviewing its global supply chain. Tell us more about that.
Well, Intel's the CEO said over the weekend that it, as many other companies, has to just look at, given all trade tariffs and all this tension, has to kind of make sure that its supply chains don't get disrupted. And other companies have said similar. For example, Foxconn, the biggest supplier to Apple, has said that they can produce more or less the iPhone outside of China entirely. So what you're going to see is companies more and more sort of just trying to find ways to get around these tensions, and particularly sort of with China so much in focus, to move away from there.
Thank you very much, all of you. Madeline Kim, executive editor for Breaking News here in Bloomberg Studios in New York, in London, news director David Merritt, and Emma O'Brien joined us from India this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, this on a morning when futures point to a higher open right now on Wall Street. S&P futures, they're up 2 points. The Dow futures, up 16 points. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, they're up 11 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And still ahead are our top stories from around the world this morning as we get ready for a Fed meeting. Treasuries this morning, the 10-year yield 2.10%. That's up 2 basis points.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher as we begin a new trading week and ahead of this week's Fed meeting. And as Bloomberg's Vinnie Dal Giudice reports, there's evidence that Wall Street calls for a rate cut could be premature.
In a surprising sign of strength, retail sales and industrial production both bounced back in May. The gains in last week's burst of data were broad-based and across sectors. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg see the Fed holding its benchmark interest rate steady for now. Major U.S. data reports this week are centered on the property market, housing starts, and existing home sales. We could see gains in both based on economists' forecasts. As far as today, look for home builder confidence data and the New York Fed's factory report. Vinnie Dal Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Boeing Chief Executive Officer Dennis Muilenburg says he's confident the grounded 737 MAX aircraft will return to service this year in the wake of two deadly crashes.
That is a multi-decade airplane that's going to be very a strong operator for our customers. And we're confident in that product strategy. We are taking a look at the middle of the market. Airplane is the next option. But that long-term multi-decade strategy hasn't changed.
Muilenburg made the comments to Bloomberg at the Paris Air Show.
Also at the show, Airbus won its first order for a new longer-range model, the A321XLR. Air Lease ordered 27 as part of a larger 100-plane contract worth $11 billion at list prices.
Shares of Lufthansa are down more than 11%. The airline says it fears a European fare war will squeeze profits at least for the rest of the year.
Bloomberg News has learned Deutsche Bank is considering exiting from U.S. equities trading and creating a bad bank to wind down legacy assets as part of a broader overhaul to be announced next month.
Huawei has prepared a doomsday outlook for smartphone sales because of the Trump administration's blacklisting. Sources say the Chinese company is ready for a drop of up to 60% in international phone shipments. Huawei is the world's second largest smartphone seller.
And futures are higher. S&P futures up 2 points, Dow futures up 20, NASDAQ futures up 12. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is up about 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.25%. The FTSE 100 is little change. 10-year Treasury down 8/32nds, yield 2.10%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.87%. Bitcoin this morning above $9,000 at $9,162, up 8.4%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Now let's get news from around the world now. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Iran says it will exceed an agreed cap on its inventories of low-enriched uranium in 10 days. It's a potential breach of the landmark 2015 agreement that was meant to prevent it from developing a nuclear bomb. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. is considering a full range of options to deal with the latest incident with Iran. Tensions have been rising between the two countries after recent attacks on oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. At their monthly meeting today, European foreign ministers are looking at the situation. EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini.
We have called for the maximum restraint. I think that of particular wisdom have been the words of Secretary General of the United Nations, Guterres, when he says that the world cannot afford another crisis, especially in an area like that.
Iran denies any involvement. A leader in Hong Kong's 2014 umbrella movement demonstrations joined protesters after his release from prison. Joshua Wong's release after spending 2 months in prison came as protesters were still gathered near Hong Kong's government headquarters. At its peak, Wong says nearly 2 million protesters showed up over a controversial extradition bill promoted by the territory's leader, Carrie Lam.
I believe it's time for Carrie Lam to end her term, and also it's time for her to step down. And it's hard for us to believe the liar, which means Carrie Lam, will really suspend the proposal forever. What we ask for is fully withdraw the evil law.
President Trump and Vice President Pence officially kick off their 2020 campaign with a rally in Orlando, Florida tomorrow. It comes as multiple reports say Trump's reelection campaign has fired some of its pollsters after leaks of surveys showing the president trailing former Vice President Joe Biden in key states. Meanwhile, we're learning more about the president's one-on-one interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Once again, the president slammed the media.
You're here right now. You are president of the United States. Yet it seems like you just feel this need to push back at perceived enemies.
No, at false stories, at fake news. Nobody has any idea how corrupt the media is. They're corrupt. Not all of it, fortunately.
The president of Argentina is promising a thorough investigation into a massive blackout that hit tens of millions of people, including in Uruguay and Paraguay. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up at 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, Gary Woodland was like so many guys on the tour. Nothing special. 35-year-old from Kansas, won a couple tournaments. Going to last year's PGA only once in 27 majors had he finished in the top 20. Ended up 6th at that PGA and 8th at this year's. And at Pebble Beach, Woodland held the lead all weekend. Brooks Koepka came charging, looking for a third straight open title. Woodland held him off, buried the 14th hole when he blasted his second shot to the green. Great chip to save par on 17. On 18, needed only a bogey to win. He had a birdie. Finished 13 under par when Tiger Woods won the Open at Pebble Beach in 2000 by 15 shots. His score was minus 12. Even in defeat, Koepka continues to amaze in majors. Four titles this year, one win and two second place finishes.
I was just trying to shoot as low as possible. It was nice to get off to such a good start. I felt like, all right, man, we got a ball game now. And it was fun. And, you know, it was some excitement around the golf course. And that's what you want. And, you know, Gary, he played a hell of a round today. Props to him for the way he hung in there. And, you know, to go out in style like that is pretty cool.
Next up, the British Open next month. Good weekend for the Yankees. 18 runs in two games. 10-3 route in Chicago's. Brett Gardner and Austin Romine both drove in four runs. Homer for Cameron Maybin to back James Paxton. Yanks host Tampa Bay tonight. The winner will be in first place. Mets lost to the Cardinals 4-3 on a Paul DeJong home run. Eighth inning, DeJong in 20 games versus the Mets is hitting .361 with nine homers, five in his last five games at Citi Field. Paul Goldschmidt had a first inning two-run start. The Cards only had one other hit. No homers for the Mets. They had hit one in 13 straight games, 19 in a row at home. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. Coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Pushed by abortion opponents, the Trump administration recently moved to restrict fetal tissue research. This is a profound mistake. Most people don't realize it, but this sort of research has already saved countless lives. It's been used to develop vaccines for polio, hepatitis A, rabies, rubella, and shingles. Hundreds of millions of people worldwide have benefited. More recently, scientists have used it to improve drug safety and study eye and brain development. It's been crucial for scientists studying HIV, and it was recently used to make a drug that keeps the virus from spreading. Restricting fetal tissue research will not stop abortions, which take place for reasons that have nothing to do with medical research. Instead, it will hold back science at great cost to human well-being. The case for fetal tissue research is overwhelming. Trump's decision to restrict it is wrong, and voters deserve to understand why. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Yeah, Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. A new Trump administration rule will allow workers to use their employer reimbursement accounts to get tax breaks for buying health coverage on the Obamacare markets. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The rule expands the uses of HRAs, as they're called, for more health expenses, including ACA plans, certain Medicare coverage, and other benefits.
This is Trump's alternative without a congressional solution to enacting his own health policy.
Bloomberg Law's Madison Alder says a legal challenge is expected.
One of the critiques of the HRA rule is that this would draw people, sick people, out of their employer plans and force them into the exchanges. So essentially this would be segmenting the market.
This new rule is set to take effect January 1st. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
And a busy week ahead for Wall Street. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Familiar themes such as trade and tariffs will be front and center this week, along with a lot of central bank action, including a Fed meeting. Noah Weisberger is chief U.S. strategist at A.B. Bernstein.
First of all, I'm not convinced that we are going to get a rate cut. Secondly, and so I think there's scope for the market to be disappointed on that front, but even if we do get it, I think the trade-off then becomes, you know, how much am I willing to pay for stocks in an environment where we basically think that earnings growth continues to slow?
It's a light earnings week, but we will be hearing from several big technology companies, including Adobe, Oracle, Red Hat, BlackBerry, along with CarMax, Darden Restaurants, and Canopy Growth. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And futures in the U.S. right now relatively unchanged. S&P futures up only about 2 points. The Dow futures 14 points higher. The NASDAQ E-mini futures right now 9 points higher. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Still ahead on Bloomberg, we head to the nation's capital and check some of the top stories in Washington. Commerce Secretary Ross downplayed the prospect of a trade deal. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures up 17 points. S&P's gained 2, while the NASDAQ futures rise by 12. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.11%. Gold and oil are both trading lower. And Bitcoin traded back above 9,000 to its highest level since May of 2018. Shanghai was little changed overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And note that Lufthansa fell as much as 13% in Germany after cutting its 2019 forecast. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing, and at 10 o'clock, the NHB Housing Market Index. In deal news, Teen Group to buy CNJ Energy in an all-stock deal. And this just hitting, Pfizer is buying Array BioPharma for $48 a share in cash. Wrapping things up, Mosaic was upgraded to buy over at Bank of America. Deere upgraded to outperform at Robert Baird. And Kinder Morgan downgraded to hold over at Stiefel. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a spokesman for Iran's nuclear agency, says Tehran will increase uranium enrichment levels based on the country's needs. It comes after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo believes attacks on oil tankers near a Middle East shipping route were committed by Iran. Protests continued today in Hong Kong over a controversial extradition measure that would allow criminal suspects to be extradited to China. The measure has been temporarily suspended for the time being. Yesterday, about 2 million people took to the streets to protest the bill. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the A's and Giants. The Red Sox downed the Orioles in 10 innings, 8-6. The Nationals won. In golf, Gary Woodland beat Brooks Koepka to win the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:49 on Wall Street. And that is time to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Commerce Secretary Ross downplaying the prospect of a major trade deal. And Trump's tariffs drawing opposition even from ex-supporters of his tactics. Joining us with more, Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning to you. What is Secretary Ross saying specifically?
Well, we know that the G20 is coming up in just a little over a week, where Donald Trump is going to be sitting down with Xi Jinping of China, and that is kind of the marquee event of the G20. And so what I think we're seeing here is Ross, on behalf of the administration, trying to downplay some expectations for what might come out of that. Trump has already said that he's likely to increase tariffs on remaining Chinese goods if there isn't some kind of a deal coming out of his sit-down with Xi. And so I think we're seeing, what we see often is Trump kind of coming out hard on an issue, and then his economic advisors sort of walking it back and saying, you know, don't be too hot to trot on thinking there's going to be a concrete deal coming out of this.
Is there even a Trump-Xi meeting that's confirmed at this point?
Not at this stage. I mean, it's all indications are that the two of them could sit down. Trump certainly is trying to do everything he can in terms of economic saber rattling to try to make that sit down happen, but nothing is officially on the books as of now.
Our other story, critics of President Trump's duties, they're testifying. There's a public hearing that starts today. They include some of his earlier supporters. Who are we talking about here?
So this is interesting. This is folks like the example that we use in our story is New Balance, the footwear company, who have been who over the long term have been advocates of more protectionist policies by the U.S., who really are going to be testifying at this hearing that the steps that Trump has taken have really gone too far, essentially. And so now what we're seeing is even longtime advocates of additional tariffs who thought they would see benefit from that are going to be testifying that it's really just a step too far.
And they're really lining up for this hearing, right, to drive home what is their common point.
Exactly. And so I think that is going to be a very high-profile hearing. We're going to see a lot of different companies testifying. There have been a lot of public comments all along on this issue. And I think that what they're trying to drive home right now is that the business community overall in the U.S. is now in agreement. There isn't so much division among different types of companies about whether or not these additional tariffs, which could be coming down the pipe soon, are actually beneficial or not. They're saying that they're not. And I think that what they're hoping is that the Trump administration hears that message loud and clear and decides to back off ahead of the next wave of threatened tariffs.
And silly season kicking off. President Trump's reelection campaign officially kicks off Tuesday in Florida, not to mention the Democrats and the field there. The polling data from the campaign, from at least the administration, so far isn't encouraging. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so there were some stories overnight, essentially yesterday, that indicated that the Trump campaign has essentially severed ties with some of their pollsters after some internal campaign polling was leaked that indicated, it's from several months ago, but it indicated that in a head-to-head matchup between Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden, who is the clear frontrunner now for the Democrats, that Trump would be trailing. And so obviously that's important kind of on two levels. It shows potentially why we've seen Trump in his Twitter accounts and on the campaign trail thus far really taking aim so much at Joe Biden. And it also shows that the Trump administration might potentially be feeling like they're playing some defense when it comes to heading into 2020.
Well, at least he has the economy on his side, right?
That's right. I mean, at least for now, there certainly are indications. There's a good story on the terminal this morning about how we're heading into potentially the longest ever expansion of the U.S. economy. And so that certainly should spell an easier road to reelection for the incumbent president. However, you know, what our story says and what, you know, some other indications are is that those numbers might be misleading, and that this is something Democrats saw in 2016, that just a good economy doesn't necessarily promise an easy road to reelection.
Well, what is likely to be the Democrats' push against Mr. Trump? What issue do they have that they can cling to?
Well, I think when it comes to the economy, the distinction that Democrats are going to be trying to push is that while the economy overall might be doing well, individual middle class folks may not be doing as well as they were when Trump took office. And so I think they're going to be focusing on some drawing the distinction between kind of the haves and the have nots, or what they characterize as the have and the have nots, and saying that sort of the gap between middle class and the ultra wealthy is expanding under Trump, and focus on that as a way to try to make the case that they would be better positioned to help working class people.
And finally, Mike Pompeo vowing the U.S. will protect shipping in the Persian Gulf. Just how high are the tensions?
Well, certainly the tensions are much higher than they were a week ago, and that, I think, is causing a bit of concern, a lot of concern, depending on who you talk to. And while it's not surprising in some ways what we're hearing from Pompeo, kind of looking beneath the explicit words that he's saying, I think that creates a bit of concern because, you know, as long as the U.S. is saying essentially that it's going to be involved if there's any other kind of an attack, we know that Trump hasn't ruled military action off the table. And I think that has people in the region and globally just a bit nervous about whether or not there could be something that either intentionally or unintentionally explodes into a more widespread conflict.
Is there going to be retaliation from the United States against Iran?
Well, we know that the U.S. already has obviously withdrawn from the Iran nuclear deal. Trump and members of his administration are pretty much Iran hardliners. We see folks like John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, who really have been looking for an opening to take an even harder approach against Iran. So certainly that's something that I think people are wondering and we could see be on the table in the coming days. And it's not necessarily helped by the fact that Iran said this morning that they're going to exceed their uranium capacity limits under the 2015 nuclear deal in about 10 days' time.
When he says the U.S. is going to make sure that we take all actions necessary, do we know specifically what he's talking about?
Well, I think that we could see additional sanctions potentially. We could see Trump has said explicitly that military action isn't off the table. He said that as recently as 2 weeks ago in an interview with Piers Morgan over in the U.K. So I think we have to kind of wait and see. But I think the U.S. is in some ways being not specific in a way of trying to sort of use a big stick to warn Iran and try to curtail some kind of future conflict.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. Of course, you can read more about these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
John, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Rising water levels are starting to hit home, literally, for some who live along the Great Lakes. Hometown case in point, Euclid, Ohio. Record high water levels and erosion have left homeowners like Randy Keefe looking for expensive ways to hold back the waves.
We're all trying to figure out ways to protect ourselves from Mother Nature and Lake Erie.
A 15-foot beach he had when he bought the home in 2003 is gone. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers reports Erie, Superior, Huron, and Michigan are all up 9 to 13 inches from last year, setting new high water level records. Lake Ontario is up 24 inches after causing flooding for three straight years. It was exactly the opposite problem as recently as 2013, when most of the lakes suffered from very low levels. Now, experts in climate science and hydrology are concerned the new normal could be rapid fluctuations between extreme high and low water levels. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. We're watching shares of Array BioPharma. They are up about 60% right now. Pfizer will acquire Array for $48 a share in cash for a total enterprise value of about $11.4 billion. So we'll be watching those shares this morning. Also, shares of Pfizer, they're down about 0.1% in early trading. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.